and who wasn't here last night. Okay. I'm going to see if I can just do a quick little review and not spend too much time, because we got to take some new ground. But last night we talked about the different levels of prophetic ministry and just the expressions and just the time that we're living in, and really what the prophetic looks like, and how it plays out in our everyday lives, because it should be a part of our everyday lives. And before I get into that, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to do what He does so well. So Holy Spirit, I guess I could use the mic. Holy Spirit, yeah, what a dear friend you are. I just love the way you do things. And so today I know there's so many surprises you have for us. And it just causes my heart to dance. I just am so excited to see the unfoldings of God. And so we love how you take everything that is the Father's. Yeah. You take everything that is the Son's and you manifest it to us. You make Him known to us. So without you, we can't know Him in the way that our heart cry out and desire. Yet today you are here, as you are every day, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to show us things to come, and to be the one you are, the revelator. So we call upon that gifting of revelation, the revelation of the Holy One, to just brood over us and move within us. I thank you, Father, for one thing that is said. It will go as many directions as there are people here today, and be personalized, be like a gourmet meal that you have tailored for each person that has ears to hear and eyes to see. Thank you that people will go out with direction, with answers, with new understanding. And so that's what I want to pray right now. Holy Spirit, release the spirit of understanding. Cause the spirit of understanding to come, so that as I'm casting that seed out, when they walk away from here, the fowls of the air cannot come and steal that word. I forbid that in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you will guard it fiercely, and that, Father, that word will go down and it will take root and it will bring forth eternal fruit. I'm calling eternal fruit and Father, fruit that's going to rock this nation. So Father, I want to ask this in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we just give it over to you now, and do what you want to do, Lord. Amen. Amen. So let me just open my book here. I'm not spending, you know, I really prayed about this, and I always adjust wherever I go. I find out, you know, put my finger on the pulse, so to speak, and just seeing where people are at and how God wants to do it. And I'm just all over the place. I just really feel like thank you. Thank you, my dear. That we're going to lean heavy upon activation. I'm giving you scriptures. Listen, this is just one notebook. I mean, prophetic, we could be here every night, couldn't we, Wanda? And we do that in Texas. We have a school, and, you know, I take out, I set aside 6 weeks to just do courses on prophetic, and it's just, there's so many levels, level one, level two, level three. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit tonight. I'll go over some of the different ways that prophetic plays out, whether it's in prophetic evangelism, prophetic worship, prophetic arts, and we'll go into some of that. I'll give you the scriptures. But, you know, the tendency is you want to just get it all, you know, I just want to get it all in you, but I really felt the Holy Spirit said, you know, Dina, I want to just model it for people, that they can get excited about it and feel comfortable with it, you know, and let it become like a familiar friend to you. And, you know, who knows, God might bring somebody else along, or we might come back and do, you know, a deeper level where it's more heavy on the teaching, because there is so much to learn about it. But for me, I think when I first came into it, just really understanding the prophetic, it was just being able to see it function and see how it moved in my life. So we're going to be doing that. I like I said, I want to just go quickly because we have so many new people. Spirit of prophecy, you can find it with Moses in Numbers 11:25 through 29. Saul and the prophets, when he came down off the mountain from worship, and the prophets were coming down, and Saul came into their presence. It says he began to prophesy, and this is the power of the prophetic right here. And you can go back and read this yourself. It's like 1 Samuel 10:10. When he came in, it says his heart was changed. His heart was changed when he got in the prophetic company and he began to prophesy. And that's what's going to happen. It was happening last night. It's going to happen over the course of today and even into tomorrow. Many people, when they get under that influence and get in a prophetic atmosphere, your heart begins to be changed and transformed. Saul's was. The spirit of prophecy, we're talking about the spirit. And I kind of explained it last night to where you can wade in. It's like a swimming pool. You wade in, you begin to splash around and have fun. Everybody can move in the spirit of prophecy. Everybody can. The angel and John, that's one we talked about last night, Revelation 19:10, where John is bowing down to this angel that has just rocked him. When you get in the presence of true angels, it's really difficult to stand up. It's very difficult. You know, you get noodle legs, and you hit the ground, and the glory of God's on them. And sometimes, several places in the scripture, they made a mistake of just bowing, and the angels always go, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Get up. You know, because we're fellow servants along with you. We serve the Master too. And so we talked about that and how the angel told John, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's worship. It's when we declare and worship God and we give the testimony of who Christ is. It brings in a spirit of the prophetic, and anybody and everybody can move in an inspiration of revelation of God by the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus. And so that's one level. The other one was in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 10, talking about the gift of prophecy. And many people are given this gift when they're born again. Some will just move in it occasionally because they don't understand they can move in it at all times. It's there. It's resident. It's in you. I mentioned last night that really in the kingdom, you begin to discover one gift and then another. And really on the journey, you begin to realize you have a gift cluster. And these gifts work together. And they're so amazing, so powerful. And it's for the edification of others and to reveal Christ to others. The gift of prophecy is in many here. We took a show of hands last night. But the thing about the prophetic gift is that you can develop it. And that's what I refer to more along the lines of a prophetic ministry, where you say, this is amazing. I'm not satisfied just to move occasionally when I'm in a meeting and the music's right and things are going in a certain way. And then, my heart starts beating and I start getting that rush of just feeling the presence, and then I move out in the prophetic. No, actually, it can be something you move in at all times and live in. And it's an expression. And really, all of us, and we'll talk a little bit probably tonight more in that area, can step into this and function in as far as developing it. That's where you move into prophetic ministry. And I'm just skipping over a lot of scriptures, but 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, stir up and fan the flame of your gift. Now, this is where you, with intentionality, say, I want to build this muscle. I want to refine and I want to hone this gift. I want to hone my delivery. I want to discover it. And different people, like Wanda, is so brilliant in personal words. I love how she moves in personal words. I do that. I love doing that. I've done it over the years. But I come on the edge of my seat. You always know where somebody's passion is when they come up on the edge of their seat. When it starts getting into government, prophetic government, and the whole thing of being able to see where someone's at, a church, a corporate company. And I'm going to get Emily to share in a little bit. She has the most amazing testimony. Because we want to break you out of the walls of the church. I said last night, this is where we practice, but we take it out there in the marketplace because that's where it's so powerful and that's where we can really use it. So that comes from a prophetic ministry and really developing that gift and exercising it and refining it, making mistakes, so that you can, tool it and get it and get it to where it's flowing and really with a clarity. So that is a prophetic, what I refer to as prophetic ministry. And then the next step is, and this is not something you choose, it's something God chooses for you. And that's the office of a prophet. We use the word office, it's not really in the scriptures, but for lack of words, it really talks about the ascension gifts. And these ascension gifts, are given for the edification of the body and the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, something it's a fourfold ministry because it says pastors that teach. We're not going to split hairs over it. There's five things mentioned, so we'll just say five. And, each one of these moves at a revelatory level. And they have a gift to be able to empower and equip others, to do what they do. They have strategies. They can see things at other levels and really work together in an overall plan, reading a, so to speak, a blueprint of how to build into a church, into a nation, into the body of Christ, to get them from this point to this point. And that's why in New Testament, you will not see prophets operating independently like they did in the Old Testament. You need to see prophets working with apostles, because apostles really come to life and go to whole new levels when they have a prophetic relationship with, you know, strong prophetic people and strong prophets. And then prophets go to another level, and they ground one another, but they also help complement one another. See, I can get into talking government, and I'll just camp out there, but I'm going to keep moving. But I was saying last night that that office of the prophet is something that God chooses, and you might know early on in your journey. For me, I didn't. I just loved my prophetic gift, and I said last night, I'm going to say it again. You are not a prophet until somebody recognizes you as a prophet. God can call you. You can groom yourself. In some places where I go, I don't really function in that, because that's not how they relate to me. And I'm okay with that, you know. But the thing that got the church in trouble is, well, they might have started off well meaning, but most of them have a wrong spirit behind them. And that's people that self-proclaim themselves and declare themselves to be prophets and come in and try to force their gift and the word the Lord's given them upon a pastor or a church or a body, you know. And this is a safe place, because your leadership is grounded. They understand. They know that they're the keepers of that, and they can say no, you know. And I've done it many times, and because we're protecting the body, and we're protecting the sheep, and it really should come out of relationship. Because you need to know where the buck stops, so to speak. You know, if you're relating with a prophet, and they're coming in and they're speaking in, not just inspiration as far as edification, exhortation, and comfort, but they will begin to speak into you direction, strategies. That shouldn't, and this is a teaching moment. I'm gonna interject this. Whether it's a prophetic gift, a prophetic ministry, or the office or the ascension gift of a prophet, Sunday morning is never the time to come up and give directional words that have within them new campaigns or new projects or new, you know, new direction. That should never be done on a Sunday morning unless first it's gone through the elders. And I've, on many occasions, I've written them out. I've put it in their hands. Once you put it, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, you feel like it's for the church, and you give it to the leadership, your job is done. Whether that ever comes to pass or not, or whether they ever believe that they're going to take that and it's confirmation. I personally, because I love pastoring the prophetic, I give feedback. I'll say, well, you know, this is a good idea. I don't believe right now we're in that season. Or I might say, and I have before, yes, this we're tracking, but this is probably going to be happening maybe on down the line. Or even when I've done this before, when somebody brought a word about home groups, this was several years ago, and it was kind of a new directional thing for the home groups. We went in and we prayed over it, we worked the word out, they submitted it to us in private, and then when it was time to give it to the church, I gave honor, you know, and because I've been around the block a few times, and there has been dishonoring. I'm just gonna say it, dishonoring of prophetic people that, you know, might bring a word, and it's taken, but then others take credit for it. But I love deferring and saying, you know, Wanda brought this word, and we all prayed about it. We felt like, yes, this is the Lord, you know. And I will even say, Wanda, would you want to give the word, or do you want me to do it? I've had some people over the years go, no, you go ahead and give it. Do you see what I'm saying? There is ways that it just it weaves within everything we're doing in local church. And there's ways that we give honor and trainings. And prophetic people need feedback. You know, some of the only feedback they ever get is just, you know, false prophet, or, you know, not now, sit down, be quiet. Or, you know, instead of saying, you know, your timing was a little off. You came in and you interrupted, you know, what was happening, instead of just letting it, you know, asking first, you know, I have this word, where would it fit? And is it even for right now? We do that. We give feedback on Sunday mornings. We have a prophetic gatekeeper so that the person speaking doesn't have to be weeding out all the gifts and all the words. And we place them, or we might say, and this is where pastoring the prophetic, I'm just throwing this out there, pastoring the prophetic, a lot of times people that are moving in the prophetic are the most wounded people of all. They're the people that struggle the most with rejection. Now, if you don't get ahead of that rejection and break that down in your life, that gift will chew you up and spit you out. You will forever be, you know, licking your wounds and feeling sorry, and then your prophetic words will begin to be tainted and they will begin to come out of hurt. And so when I'm pastoring prophetic people, that we first have to build trust, you know. We first have to build trust and they know I'm for them. But I will, and I have done it before, where I've said, somebody that always wants to give a word, say, there's too much of a need to give words and to be in the front of the church. And I've done this before where I've said, you know, let's just do a season, a sabbatical, where you fast doing that, because God wants you to know how much he adores you, how valuable you are just in being, not in necessarily doing. And I'll meet with them and I'll take them through some healing and so forth and get them all healed up, and then they can move out. And it's not the need to do it to establish identity. Your identity is not your prophetic gift. Your ministry is not your identity. Listen, ministry, it ebbs, it flows, it comes, goes, you know. And of course, ministry is always before us, but I'm talking about, you know, if it's vocational or whether, you know, you're in a season of hiddenness or in a season of manifestation. There are sometimes God's doing things in us and we're not so much out there doing it, you know, in front of people. And then there's times where he launches us. And so as those things come and go, that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. And when you base and build your identity on that, things can come, things can go, but you will never be moved. We went back to the hotel last night. We were just sharing different testimonies of the journey, you know, and just how this is such a seed of a fulfillment, being here and doing this. But there's a journey that got myself to this place, as well as, you know, these two. And it is for all of us, all of you. And you need to know, in those times when it looks like nothing's happening, and I know there's people here, I felt it last night, I know even right now, there's people that have had a gift, and we're going to do this before this is all done. I want to do a prayer where I just pray a mass prayer over everybody. We might wait till the second session, because probably people will be coming in maybe a little bit late, we might have. And I want to make sure anyone who's ever been wounded in the prophetic, anyone who ever was excited and launched out and stepped out, and, you know, you started doing it only to be shut down. And after you were shut down, you were already wounded and hurting as it was. That just sent you over the edge. You felt rejected. You felt misunderstood. And you just shut down altogether. And that gift went dormant. Still there. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? Let me see some hands. Yes. And so Holy Spirit's coming after you this morning in its most sweet way to really just get people healed up. We want to be functioning out of wholeness. We want to be ministering. We want to be prophetic people that are walking in wholeness. And so those are the four levels. There you go. It doesn't hurt to review and repeat, because it's important that we understand. Because in knowing that, you can begin to identify where you are, you know, in a realistic way. And that's what we need, is we need to be realistic of where we are so we know where we're going. Now, I want to talk this morning about how we hear God. Now this, you know, sometimes we assume too much. We think, well, surely, you know, everybody knows. But I know that it doesn't work that way. That there are so many different ways, not just of hearing in one way, but I love, you know, casting that bread out there to show different ways that you can actually hear God. He's so creative. His mercies are new every morning. You know, yesterday, he's always the same, but he's always different. And yesterday, you know, it's not going to be what it is today. He's always fresh. He's always doing new things, and he's always creative. So I love discovering creativity in everything I do with God, and how I hear him, how I move for him, how he moves in and through me. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, last night what we did was an exercise, and I really felt like I wanted to start with this. So get out a piece of paper. One of the things I said, a true prophetic ministry, gift, prophet, whatever you want to call it, they will empower others to do what they do. They will equip others. You know, if it's a prophet, they're gonna teach others how to hear the voice of God for themselves. But there's a scripture that says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, I want you to know something this morning. I'm going to give you some other scriptures too. This is the best news ever. Are you ready? We are absolutely wired to hear God. to not, it's totally against everything who God is, how he's created us, how he's wired us. We are wired. And I'm saying that because so many people go, Tina, I don't hear the voice of God. I try so hard and, you know, I just don't hear it. And I promise you, you are. You just haven't recognized it. We went to a home group. It was so much fun the other night. And we were talking about hearing God. And it was one of those moments where it's just taking a life of its own, you know. And we're interacting with people, talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, I said to this gentleman who was talking about hearing God, he goes, you know, he was describing how God comes and you just suddenly know things. And I said, and how do you hear it? You know, what's the voice sound like? And there was kind of a pause. I realized, okay, maybe they don't. And I said, sounds like your voice. And the minute I said that, there was a lovely lady, and I don't know if she's here. She came up out of her seat and she said, that's it. That's it. And I was like, yes. And she goes, I didn't know that. I've been waiting to hear a man's voice. I said, no. It sounds like your voice. When God speaks in her life, it sounds like your voice. Now, there's times, you know, I've heard, how many of you have heard the audible voice of God? Several people? Yeah, there's always a few. You know, don't think you're less spiritual if you haven't. The only reason I have is because I died when I was 18. I went to be with the Lord, and he sent me back. So you don't want to have to go through that necessarily just to hear the voice of God. But I will tell you this. Some people do hear his voice, you know, audibly. Not all the time, but on certain occasions, he likes to, you know, bring a flare of a bit of drama in it to get his point across. So it does happen. But for the most part, you can always hear him and commune with him with that inner voice because we're wired. He's wired us. He's created us to hear his voice. But it's the whispers beyond the veil. It's that subtlety of, you know, like Moses, not Moses, but Elijah was listening for the thunder. He was looking for the lightning because that's how God had just moved. No, in the still small voice. So we're gonna do another exercise, and just like we did last night. And here's what we did last night: we gave prophetic words, you know, paired up, and we gave prophetic words to one another. I'm gonna do it a little bit different this morning. So listen to the instructions. What we did was, I said, you know, a lot of times the prophetic is activated just by prayer. You know, we get so, you know, I've got to get up and give a word, and I've got to call somebody out, and you know, the light's going to come down on a person, and I'm going to, you know, we make it more difficult than it is. It's just listening and hearing, and so what you want to listen for, and one of the best ways to activate it is sometimes just by prayer. And so I always, you know, we talked last night about how it says, but the prophetic is unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I've had people over the years go, you know, I don't know. I don't know that I should really do that prophetic thing because what if I make a mistake? You know, what if I step out and I really make a mistake? I always think, now, explain this to me. How can you make a mistake encouraging somebody, building somebody up, or, you know, exhorting somebody? You can't. That's the most basic level of the prophetic. And if that's where you'll begin and that's where you'll grow, he'll bring foretelling eventually where you'll grow your gift to where you can really strengthen it and move into that. But right now, all we're doing today and this weekend is just that level of the prophetic that it just brings refreshing. It does every time, but it brings refreshing through edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what you do is I want you to just sit there for a minute, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you two things. Now, last night we paired you up first. I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to ask first that you hear, and then I'll show you where you're going to release it, okay? So I want you to just hear two things. It could be finances. You might just hear the word children. You might hear the word job. You might hear the word, whatever it might be. Just listen and listen for two things. And go with the first thing. Sometimes people go, well, I wonder if that's it. Is that really, it's, you know, it's the people with the hamster wheel. It's the people that are the deep thinkers and processors, and they just think it to death, and then they just don't get anything done because they're trying to so hard, you know, process that and make sure it's the, so I'm just encouraging you, whatever comes in the first impression, go with that. And don't get too anxious about it, okay? So, Holy Spirit, you're here already. We've asked. So I just think you reveal two areas. As soon as you hear it, just write it down. And because of time, I'm going to keep moving. I know you can do this. You can keep up. And once you get those two things, then I want you to write out a sentence that is like, say it is in the area of finances. Then you would write out just a simple sentence that says, Father, I ask you to release the spirit of grace to bring breakthrough in the finances. Something like that, you know. Just ask the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray for this? He'll give you a way to pray it. Just write that sentence out on both of those areas. So happy to see some of you have brought your journals. Yay. Okay, so do you have the two sentences written? Now what I want you to do is go through, cross out, Father, I thank you, or Father, would you, and put first person in there. I will cause my spirit of grace. Just reword it ever so slightly. You go, oh, can we do that? Well, who do you think is giving you the inspiration of the prayer to begin with? It's coming from the Father. So you can just simply begin to put it in first person. Father, I thank you that you are causing the spirit of grace to come so that they will be able to step into a new level of blessing and whatever, you know, however you've written it out. Just make it first person. Okay, you got it? Everybody pretty much have that done? All right, now it's time to pick the person. You ready? I want you to read it to yourself. It's your word. It's your word. So look at it right now, read over it, and tell me if it fits. Now, why am I doing this? Because one of the biggest pitfalls of prophetic people is they can hear God for everybody else but except themselves. And that's not what we're going to raise up in this nation. We're going to raise up a people that know how to hear God for themselves, and out of that, they're able to get the word to others. And that there's not this gulf being created through, you know, time after time, giving out words, yet, you know, one of the jokes amongst prophets is, you know, two prophets came and met on the road along the way, and one of them said to the other one, you know, you're okay, how am I? You know, that sometimes is a little sadly the case, but not here, not now, not in you and not in me, because I want people that can hear God for themselves. That's what this is all about. And then out of that, to the degree of the intimacy and knowing God and hearing God for ourselves, we're able to hear for others. And you know what else? You'll find a lot of times just the very flavor, the people that God puts you in front of to give prophetic words will be able to identify, because so many of the things will be similar to who you are. Now, how many of you this word fits? Raise your hands. See there? See there? And you go, Dina was so way off. I was telling somebody they're going to have a baby, and I'm a man. You know, no, don't worry about it. And you know, one thing else, I only do my grandchildren. I don't do babies, and I don't do weddings. You know, and marriage stuff, because weddings and marriages are, it's part of the discovery. Joy is in the discovery and the unfolding. So that, you know, sometimes I might know, but I don't say anything. Some people do. I don't fault them if they do. But that in my life, in my area, that's an area I just don't go to. Because I love to see people see the unfolding. And I've seen way too many messes, you know, as a result. Babies, you know what I do when one of my grandkids is coming? I pray and I ask the Lord, and then I put it in an envelope, and then I mail it to myself. Before they know what it is. Of course, nowadays, you know, they find out so quickly. And just see, you know, how on target. Why am I doing that? Because I'm always honing my gift. You know, I'm always exercising the muscle. You know, what if you miss it? Well, okay, I missed it. Next. You know, because each time you're going to get better and better and better. Don't get so bogged down in perfectionism. You know, have a joy on the journey of discovering and learn, because you will frustrate yourself in the grace of God on your life if you're always trying to just nail the perfection. The prophetic is a little bit sloppy sometimes and a little bit messy, but you know what? We have God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have leaders that help us to navigate it and facilitate it. So tuck that little prophetic word, you know, into your journal, into your pocket, into your purse, and hold on to that. Begin to pray over it. You know, this is something I hope we have time to get to. I don't know, because listen, the things that we can teach you in the prophetic are unending. But how to develop your prophetic word. What do you do with a word once you receive a word? There's ways that you develop it, and that you step in and you begin to, you know, find out the different things that it's mentioning, how you pray for it. Every prophetic word has a prayer agenda. Every prophetic word has an action plan. And to know how to do that through just a simple word you're given really takes it to a new level. Paul said to Timothy to do warfare with a prophetic word that had been given to him. And a lot of times when the prophetic comes, it's, you know, everything might be going well. I've seen this happen over and over again. Sometimes almost like if I'm going to start prophesying about finances to somebody, they're getting ready to come into an amazing time of finances. Doesn't happen all the time, but a lot of times they're getting ready to lose their job. I've seen it happen and lose everything. And then they come back and they go, you know, Dina, that was, what were you thinking? What was God thinking? I've lost everything, you know. I'm down to square one. And you were saying I'm going to come into this time of prosperity and blessing. Yeah, you know what? Maybe God was giving you that because he wanted you to have something, a tool, and an encouragement, a promise that you could war with, because he knew what was coming. And during that point of the revelation and then the realization, there's always that gulf and that valley of process and transformation. So you get that word, and then it goes down. It seems like it goes up. Have you ever had that happen? It seems like it goes absolutely the opposite direction. But hold, hold, hold. Because right on the other side of that, if you war with that, and then I've seen people break through, and then suddenly just the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and just the overflow. You know, a lot of times you're going to see that God gives you words because he knows what you're getting ready to go through. And it might take the opposite direction, but it's for the purpose of encouragement and showing you what is coming so that you hold steady. Now, when we talk about hearing the voice of God, I'm going to spend a lot of today on seeing. Because it's just one of my, and hearing also, but it's just one of my favorite areas. And so every time I come here, and really whenever I go anywhere where God takes me outside of my own area, I love looking for the windows of God. I love listening and hearing what God's saying about a nation, about a situation, about a place, people, whatever. And last time I was here, I was telling you the story how, you know, we went out on a lock in a boat. It's a castle tour. And we weren't able to see any castles because the water was so low. So, you know, we were carrying along, and I went, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, Dina, go to the front of the boat. So I went to the front of the boat by myself, because it's like, assume the position, here it comes, I know God's getting ready to speak. You just know that, you know. So I get in the front of the boat, and the wind's blowing, and I put on some music that's inspiring to me at the moment, and I feel a tap on the shoulder, and I'm waiting for that word to come, you know, Lord, what do you want to show me? I know when he's getting ready to do it. And I turn around, and it's the captain. Now that's symbolic. See, I'm gonna pull the curtains back and let you into my world and how I think, okay, and how the Holy Spirit works with it. Doesn't mean you have to do it this way. It might kind of freak some of you out and you go, I don't want to be like that. But for the most part, it'll just give you some ideas of how God loves to interact with us. He loves to interact along the way. So, I hear the captain starting to speak, and I know it's not really his voice. I know it's the voice of God. He hands me some binoculars because he told me earlier, you're not going to see castles because we can't get you up close to them. He goes, but they're over in that direction. And then he comes back and he hands me his binoculars. And he says to me, here, take these. It will help you to see further and to see wider what's really out there. Holy Spirit, the minute he said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, here it comes. And I'm listening to on my headset. Now, some of you might not be old enough to know this song. And some of you might be old enough to go, you listen to that kind of music, but I was listening to Van Morrison, Into the Mystic. And the mystics are, I told everybody last night, mystics, yeah, there's mystics in every religion, but there's mystics in Christianity as well, and they're the ones that pursue the presence of God. But there's a mariner's term for a mystic, and a mystic is one in the ancient days, ancient. Every time you say that word ancient, I perk up, because I love the old and the new coming in convergence together. And the ancients, mariners, they would go to the front of the boat, and they called them a mystic. When they lived in areas where there was a lot of fog, and they would put the mystic on the front point of the boat, and the mystic would see through the fog, and he would call out the directions to the captain of the ship. That's a picture of prophetic. That's a picture of the seers. So all of this is coming together. I'm listening to this song, Into the Mystic. The captain hands me the binoculars. I pull them up. And the minute I start pulling them up to my eyes, God starts downloading. And he said, Dina, the time has come that the ancient wells and the ancient callings on this nation are resurfacing and coming once again. He said, sweetie, I have called you as a mystic. He said, but I'm calling you now to the front of the boat to call the mystics and the seers of Ireland to the front of the boat, because it's time to begin to see through the fog so they can find their way for this move I'm getting ready to bring, and I'm already started. And so, and I've been asking Noel from the first time I met him, what's the prophetic like? Where are the prophetic people? And, how far along? And, where is everybody at? And so when the Lord spoke that, I knew something was happening. So the captain leaves. And I'm crying. I mean, I'm getting downloads, and I call my friend Miranda. I go, you got to see this. You got to hear this. And so I told her what just had happened. I feel another tap on the shoulder. And here comes the captain again. He said, I don't know. I thought maybe you might like to hear this. This might mean something to you. He doesn't know who we are. This isn't a Christian tour. And I said, speak. He must have thought I was so wild, weird woman, because I go, speak. I go, yes, I do want to hear it. And he starts talking to me, and he starts telling me about something we're getting ready to see, and it so is blowing me away. I said, hold on 1 second. You've got to say this again. I want to film you. So I said, Miranda, I had no battery. I said, Miranda, get your phone out and film him saying this. So he's just told me everything. So you're going to see me. I'm kind of winking at Miranda as she's filming him. But he starts talking. And I want you to hear what he said, because I'm teaching you today how to hear and how to see. This was both at the same time. He was going to show me two. And you'll see them when he pulls it up. There are two ancient markers in the water way down, and Miranda will eventually turn the camera. You won't hear his voice as well, but she'll zoom in, and you'll see the two markers, and he's going to explain. I believe this is a word for Ireland, and in the spiritual sense that is playing out, and God wants to bring in the natural sense. So I'll be quiet, and I'll let them go ahead and cue that up and play it, and ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, because we're going to do something after it's done. Now she's going to zoom in. You'll see the two poles up in the water. They're on the left side of this ship, and she pulls into it. See, they're over on this side. There's one shorter and one, but there's just two of them. Okay. Were you able to understand him and hear him pretty well? So I'll just capsulize. He basically was saying in the early 17th century, so that's actually the 1600s, these mariners went in and somehow, how did they do it? They figured out how to line these two poles up that if you see two, you're gonna run adrift, you're gonna crash, you're gonna burn. But the ancient mariners would find those two markers, and they would maneuver the boat to where they became one. And once they became one, it would lead them into the deepest parts of the water where they would be the safest. And it would lead them safely, as he said, into the port. He said, no smartphones. And I asked him the question because he said it earlier, and it just hit me so powerfully. He said, you know, the young captains, they don't know this. They try to come in with all their tools and their, you know, their everything. He said, you know, iPhones, iPads. He goes, no. Once they find out, he goes, they don't always know that. But once they find out, they go back to the ancient way and use that because it's a sure way. And I was just like, does that rock any of you? Okay, what are the two things? I've been asking the Holy Spirit. I'm not gonna assume that I've got all the answers. I'm still praying over this and pondering it. You know, I one thing that I feel in my heart, one thing, but I believe there's more revelation, and I'm very open if some of you get some things and we want to talk about it. But I know that we cannot be divided as a nation, that we can't be divided in the church, in our approach for how we're going to go after this move of God. You know, God wants to maneuver us. One of my ancestors' name, and I love studying, you know, family history. You learn so much. One of my, and I have a picture of him. He looks like Kentucky Colonel Sanders, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. He had a white beard, had seven daughters, and his last name was Threlkeld. And I have a book on the Threlkelds describing it. And this is part of the heritage that I carry. But I'm looking at people that carry a heritage that just will rock this nation. My heritage on that one name, just in that one vein of the family, is this. That meant the servant Threlled, the servant Keld of the waters, the keeper of the waters. And when I looked it up and did a deep research on it, it says that the deepest part where it runs the stillest. And one of my favorite scriptures is, be still and know that I am God. And I felt like, and you know, my sisters and I, we discovered this, and we both found out, all of us found out, my great-grandfather was a lock keeper in Kentucky. I don't think he ever put that together, but he set water levels in the natural, whereas I believe I have a heritage to set water levels in the spirit, you know, and I do that intentionally. When I go in places, I open up floodgates in the spirit. I believe that's over this nation, that God is wanting to maneuver us and bring the prophetic people to the front of the boat so they can begin to line things up and find that deep part of the waters that we can lead this nation and the church of this nation into, so that we can have a move of God, so that we can find the place that where God's wanting to release and bring us safely to the port, safely to the docks. And, you know, like I said, I believe there's even more than just that, some things I've been pondering in my heart. But that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, you're listening constantly. You know, if I was just in that boat just going, well, this is a, you know, a little overcast day and we're all here together and going along. I look for those moments. I it's not like I'm straining myself, but I am aware. Father, I'm looking, you know, for when you're going to speak to me and what you want to say. More in us. We're going to go out. The last 2 days I'm here and we've set our path to go on a certain track because I'm going after it. After the conference, I want to go hear God speak the next piece of the puzzle. It's like he loves playing with jigsaw puzzles. He has little pieces he snaps in, and as we're walking along, we get to work that puzzle with him. We snap another piece in, snap another piece in, and guess what? We begin to see the picture, the bigger picture. That's prophetic. And it's a treasure hunt. That's what makes it so much fun. It's a treasure hunt. So what time do I need to end? Like right now? Okay. Oh, look at you. Aren't you clever? Hold it up so they can see. I tell you, I've told them, I just get carried away. I lose all track of time, and I would just be here. I would go nonstop all day. So I said, cue me and make sure, you know, I cut it off. So she's got the little cue going. We're going to have some fun with, clearly we won't have time to do it now. But when we come back, we have a break, and then we come right back, right? Well, when we come back, I'm going to do another fun exercise with you. I love music and worship and instrumentals. Now, I'm one of those that I don't believe there's sacred and secular. I believe music is music. And that, you know, God created it. Heaven is full of music. I've worked with some amazing psalmists over the years, prophetic psalmists that are very skilled in their gift to know how to usher in a move and presence. But also, I've always been intrigued. I'm a movie girl. I'm just getting it all out there, you know, and if you have problems with it, you have to forgive me, okay? But I do love, God speaks to me through movies. Not every movie. I'm very selective, but he does speak. How many does God speak to you through movies? There you go. I love soundtracks of movies. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to lay the foundation now because we'll just jump in there when we get back. I can put, like, when I used to live in Africa, you know, it was back in the 80s, and that's when Out of Africa came out. And so often, that particular soundtrack will spark Africa for me. And I'll pray, and I'll intercede. I probably listen to more instrumentals. Sometimes I just get tired of words. Anybody else? Anybody? Sometimes I don't need words. I have a great imagination. And you know, God gave it to us, and he likes to use it. And it's sacred, and it's okay, and it's and permission granted, you know, as you're renewing your mind, permission granted. Let God use your imagination. So a lot of times soundtracks, they evoke certain pictures. Guess what? Prophetic music is the same thing. God, many of you musicians, and I'll talk to you right now, raise your hands if you're a musician and in prophetic worship or any kind of worship. You will see a vision, or you'll see something that is happening. And to prophesy on your instruments is to create that atmosphere and interpreting what you're seeing. When you listen to simple soundtracks, it does the same thing. It gives you a picture. And so often God will show me visions and things unfolding just through listening to different music and different instrumentals. So we're going to have some fun. I put together a little prophetic soundtrack that I'm gonna play just a little bit of some different instrumentals. And then, you know, there's no right and wrong answer. Everybody, no two people see alike. No two people necessarily hear alike. So every answer is correct. And I'm gonna activate and stimulate and get that side of your brain and your spirit working together and moving, because God loves to use soundtracks, background. I'm not meaning secular. I'm just meaning music as a backdrop to what he's doing. We're going to be living, I mentioned it earlier. I died when I was 18 through a course of events, and then God sent me back. And I'll tell you one thing. One of the things I experienced when I was there was, it's been a long time. It's been like 40 years, you know. And things do fade, but some things don't. And I'll tell you this right now. One of the things that didn't fade, that I still can stand here and hear it, was the sound of voices. It's frustrating because I start trying to describe and you don't have words. But it was like this choral choir of voices that just crescendoed and ebbed and flowed, and it was glorious. It was beautiful. And I never saw people. Because I didn't really enter fully in. But I heard it. And the only way I know how to describe it, it was like the oxygen of heaven. It wasn't loud and abrasive. It wasn't, you know, too soft. It was just the atmosphere. It was the atmosphere. And it's like you breathed it in, and it was so conducive and delicate and yet powerful. It was there. We're going to be experiencing that for all eternity. You know, the throne room is full of sounds and worship. So when we get back, and this will be a great exercise to go into soaking with. Because I love teaching the people how to connect with the worship teams. Because a lot of times there's a disconnect. They think, they're leading us in song, yay, you know. Yet, if you got engaged with them, you could stair-step into the glory of God. You start sparking one another. One has a prophetic word that inspires them. They go to another level. They begin to play. The musicians begin to play what you've just prophesied, you know, and back and forth. So there's reasons why I'm doing this when we get back, and you'll see why. We're going to have fun with it. And then there's several other things. But we're going to talk also as we're doing it about, you know, the other ways you can hear God's voice. So go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come. How long?
Thank you. We call it. It's about 20 minutes, yeah? And we grab some time back. But also, just if you want to have food, will you please see Anna and Paul that's at the door, and you can tell them you have food and you can pay them there. If you haven't paid for the conference, will you please see them as well? Thank you.